you with us this morning. And because a lot of people don't understand salvation, it's very confusing to them, and we're going to try to clear that up. Now, the first thing I want you to do before we get to the chart, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, or excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now, if you're there, say amen. All right, and it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice here, and you need to mark this in your Bible, we are three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. Everybody is. We are three-part beings. We're created in the image of God. And God is three in one. We are three in one. Spirit, soul, and body. Very important. All right. Now, when you come to Christ, if you have come to Christ and received him as your personal Savior, and the Spirit of God came to live in you, and we call that justification. That happened in the past. That would be the beginning of everything. Actually, your life begins at salvation, because anything before salvation does not count as far as God is concerned. So your life started when you got saved, whether it was 10 years old, 30 years old, 50 years old, whatever it was. Now, we call this past tense. So you were saved. Your spirit was saved. That's the first, the very innermost being of yourself. Your spirit was saved. Why did it have to be saved? Because you were born with a spirit that was lost because of the sin of Adam and Eve. That's very simple. We've gone over that in the Bible many times. So when you receive Christ, your spirit is saved. You receive eternal life. The Bible calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory. You receive God. You are saved. Now, you cannot lose that, and this is the reason why. It's very simple. If you were born in the first place, you were born a human being. When you were born, whatever date that was, everybody has a birthday. Now listen to me carefully. Say the child was born, and when the child began to talk at 2 or 3 years old, whenever, the child says to the parents, I don't want to be a human being. I want to be a horse. I just don't like being a human being. I want to be a horse. Now, what's the possibility of that happening? Zero. Not going to happen. You're born a human being. You're a human being. If you are born again in Jesus Christ, you become a human being that is saved, we call it, that is born again. You are a child of God. You can't decide later, I want to be something else. Are you listening to me? You are what you are. That can't be changed. That's an eternal situation. You will be a believer in Christ for eternity if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, the next step, which on our box here is called the race, is a word called sanctification. That's what's going on now. That's present tense. God is working in your soul. Salvation was in your spirit. Justification, you were justified. You were declared not guilty before God. Next comes what is called sanctification, present tense. That means your soul is in the process of being saved in the Lord. Now, if you died right after you got saved, you would go to heaven. That's not the issue. Sanctification is the process of the journey you're on now in life where you're going to learn the Word of God, learn what God wants to do for you, and start doing what God has called you to do. That's called sanctification. It's something we do in our soul. Once you become saved, it's teamwork with God and you. That's when now in this life, it's teamwork between God and you. God calls you, God gifts you, God empowers you, but you have to cooperate with that. And so you're running the race of life now, but we're running towards a target. We have a destiny. We have a purpose. We're not here just to live 70, 80, 90 years and die. That's not why we're here. If you're a Christian, you're here to do the works of God now, and then in the kingdom of God, when He reigns for 1,000 years, when the kingdom starts, you're going to receive rewards. That's the issue. We're running a race to get the reward. Everybody has a different race. I'm going to show you in a minute in the Word of God. But then future, our future is glorification in Christ, where our body will be saved. We'll get a new body. It's called a glorified body. It will last forever, for eternity. You won't be living in the same body you're in now when you're with Christ. If you went out in some of the other creation of God outside planet Earth, you wouldn't need a space suit. This is a glorified body that could go anywhere in the creation of God. So, let me give it to you again. When you're born again, you're justified before the Lord. Your spirit is saved. You receive eternal life. You are a partaker in Christ. That is done. But then the sanctification process takes place in your soul. Your soul is where your personality is, where your mind is, where your will is, where your emotion is. What is the part that's you in that sense that makes you what you are? And that part of us has to cooperate with God to do what God wants us to do in this life, not the next one, in this life. And then, finally, Christ is going to come for you. You're going to get a new body. Your body will be saved. So you were saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. Spirit, soul, body. That's the way it works. God's not trying to save your spirit now. It's already done. But He is in the process of renewing your soul and getting you into a situation where you will grow in the Lord. Now, we would think it strange if somebody was born and they stayed a baby for 50 years. We think that's kind of strange. Well, there are Christians that are born again that stay babies for 50, 60 years. And we want to explain to you that's not the plan of God. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. It just means you probably won't get rewards when you get there. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your rewards. You can lose your inheritance. It's very clear in the scriptures. Yes, you'll go to heaven, but you're going to be sitting way back there in the balcony someplace. You understand? If you ever go to some of these football games, if you're in the last seat, the furthest away from the field, you're going to need binoculars to see what's going on. You got the picture? That's what this means. And it's very clear in the scripture that God wants to give you rewards for what you do from the time you're saved until the time you're with the Lord. Everything before that doesn't count. Okay? Obviously, if you're not saved, your life doesn't count because it'll end up in eternal hell. If you don't come to Christ, you're lost forever. You'll be lost for eternity. If you come to Christ, you'll be saved forever. You'll be saved for eternity. Is that clear? Everybody got that? All right. Now, just keep this for your own benefit. But the idea is a Christian is to grow in Christ now, and then later receive rewards. That's the plan of God, the general plan of God for you. I want you to understand that. Now, we've been talking about during this race, during this journey that we're on now, we've been talking about what is going to be the test at the end. There's going to be a test at the end. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Very clear in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we've gone over that, so we won't go over it again. But the issue is we're all going to stand before Jesus as believers, if you're a Christian. And it's going to be a matter, not whether you're lost or saved, it's going to be a matter of, did you do what I asked you to do in this life? Now, some people get the idea, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'll just do whatever I want to. Well, you can, but you'll lose your inheritance, you'll lose your reward. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. I just said, doesn't it make sense to you if you owned a business and you hired two people and one of them just sat down on the job and the other one worked, don't you believe you're going to bless the one that worked? Amen? That's exactly the way it is with God. We don't work to get saved, but we work to receive rewards. Paul said, I work harder than anybody. Why did he do that? To receive the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I'm working for a prize, you see. So there's a point, and here are the two main things that he's going to judge us on. Number one, the depth or the deepness or the closeness of our relationship with Christ now. Are we in the Word of God? Are we praying? Are we talking to the Lord? Are we following Him the best we know? How are we getting as close to God as we can? That's a process. You have to work on that. Yes, you're saved in your spirit, but you have to work on it in your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, your everyday activities. Number one, our relationship, or the depth of our relationship with Christ. Number two, we're going to be judged on, is going to be the responsibility that we took with the things of God in this life until we're with Jesus. Now, that's the second one. So number one, you have to know what He wants you to do. Number two, you have to do it, and He helps you. He gives you the power. How faithful are you in this life now? So how close you are to Christ, how faithful you are to do what He's called you to do. Now, if I taught a message to say, oh, well, everybody's going to heaven, we'll just have a good time and sing and just go home skipping down the lane, this place would be filled. But I talk about, whoa, wait a minute, we got responsibility to the Lord. Well, that kind of thins the thing down a little bit, if you understand what I mean. Because we have responsibility. He's gonna test us on our responsibility we were to have in this life. Okay? So there's a reason to live for God. There's a reason to be in church. There's a reason to be in the Bible. There's a reason to pray. Because we're going to be tested at the end. Now, several parables in the Bible talk about this testing, gives you an idea of how it works. And we're going to look at one today. We looked at it briefly last time. And that's Luke 19, verse 11. So everybody has a Bible. Let's get in it. And if you don't have one, look at somebody else's. Look over their shoulder or something. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. He didn't come just to waste time. He came to show us what was going to happen at the end. Okay, the end of our life on this earth. Okay, now, we're going to go to Luke chapter 19 and verse 11. Very interesting here. All right. And when they heard these things, He added and spoke a parable, because He was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would come immediately. What they thought was this kingdom was going to come right then. Jesus Christ come to the earth. He was going to bring on the kingdom. He was going to reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. But the problem was they rejected him. Yes, he offered them the kingdom. The Jews said no. They rejected Christ. So because of that, they were going to have to wait 2,000 plus years for him to come back again and set up the kingdom. He's not going to ask them next time. He's going to do it. The first time he asked them, I'm the king, do you want me? They said no. There's a lot of people today that Christ comes to them, he calls them, and they say no. You can say no if you want to. But the issue is, then he turned to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles is anybody that's not a Jew, and he began to tell these parables of what was going to happen when we either die and go to Christ or Christ comes while we're alive, whichever, which is soon. It's coming soon. Now I'm going to show you in the scripture what it says. All right. Luke 19, verse 11. They heard these things. He added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's talking about himself. He said, I'm going to leave and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to leave and receive the kingdom. God's going to give it to me. I'm going to come back and bring the kingdom with me. And that was 2,000 years ago he said that. Now I believe he meant about 2,000 years later. We're close. I think we're close to his coming. Now, he goes on with the story and talks about you and I. He talks about himself there. In verse 12, he said, I'm going to heaven's really where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the Father. He's going to give me the kingdom. And I'm going to wait for the time. And when the time is right, the Father will send me back with the kingdom of God. And I'm going to reign 1,000 years in Jerusalem. That's in Revelation. We've looked at that. We don't need to look at it again. But what about you and I? Here we are, verse 13. He called 10 servants. 10's an interesting number in the Bible, but we'll move on. 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. So, here's what he said. I'm going to leave. Going to be 10 servants. That represents the church, you and I. These 10 servants. He said, I'm going to give these 10 pounds. I'm going to give 1 pound to each one. 1 pound to each one. Now, he said, but the citizens, some of the citizens didn't like him. Hard to believe. They didn't like Jesus. And they sent a message after him, we're not going to have this man to rule and reign over us. Well, there's a place for them. We'll see that in a minute. And it came to pass that when he returned, because he is coming back, I say he's coming back. All right? He will come back. When Jesus says something, he does it. You guarantee he will return. All right. Now, here's what he says. And he's talking to you and I. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, in this case, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. In other words, God said, I'm going to give every person a measure of my faith and my gifts and my abilities. Every single Christian I'm talking about. That's you and I, if you know the Lord. He said, I'm going to give them, and then I'm going to come back and see how much they multiplied what I gave them. In other words, if God gave you a gift of healing, you better be praying for people that are sick. Do I hear an amen? Amen. If he gave you the gift of prayer, you should be praying for everybody in sight. Everybody ought to pray, but you particularly, because that's what you're supposed to do. If he gave you your ability to win souls for Christ, you should be talking to people about Jesus and about salvation. He's not talking to preachers here. He's talking to you, you see. And what the church decided to do was hire somebody to do the job instead of doing it themselves. And guess who's going to get the rewards? You see. Okay. I think that went over like, I'm not sure what. All right. And then he said, in other words, we're supposed to multiply what God gave us. Now, everybody always thinks that, well, we got to lead people to Christ. That's part of it, but it's certainly not all of it. Some people have an ability to win people to Christ that others don't. So that's not totally what we're talking about here, but that's what the church has been teaching all these years. Win souls. Go out and win people for Jesus. And that's all good. Hallelujah. We need to do that. But that's just the beginning of it. My goodness, we haven't even got there yet. Okay, now here we go. Then they're going to report to him. We're going to report to Jesus for what we did with the gifts he gave us. Do I hear an amen? Okay, the first guy comes. And he says, your pound has gained 10 pounds. He had 10 times what God gave him. And God said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful in a very little. He only had 1 pound in the first place. That was kind of little. He said, you've been very faithful in very little. You have the authority over 10 cities. In other words, our responsibility in eternity is going to be determined by how we take our responsibility now. All right? Everybody got that? All right. I'm not here to make people feel guilty. I'm here to get you to start multiplying. Okay? Now, if you've messed it up to here, let's get on the wagon. Okay. Now, he goes on. The second man came, verse 18, saying, your pound has gained 5 pounds. That's pretty good. He didn't do the same as the first guy, but he did okay. And he said unto him, I'm sure, well done, good and faithful servants, not here, but I'm sure he did, be thou over 5 cities. So in proportion to what he multiplied with what God gave him, determined how many cities he was going to be over. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Now, that's being over cities is just, there's probably other things besides being over cities, but that's just for the sake of this particular parable is what he's saying. Now, another guy came. It's the third guy, and here's what, now these are three different categories of what people do. Some people do the most. They're going to get 10 pounds for the one. Some of them are going to get 5 pounds for the one, and some are going to do what this guy does. Another came saying, behold, here's your pound. I've kept it in a napkin. I buried it in the backyard. I didn't go to church. I didn't go out of the house, but I'm saved. Okay. Well, let's see what happened. And he said, for I feared thee because you're an austere man. And in other words, you're demanding some things here, and I don't like that, and so I'm not going to do it. Thou takest up what you lay not down and reapest what thou did not sow. Jesus did some sowing in the parable of the sower, and he said, now you do it. Okay? And he said unto him, out of your own mouth. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jesus said to him, verse 22, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. He's still a servant, but he just wasn't a good one. Thou knew that I was an austere man, taking up that what I laid not down and reaping what I did not sow. Why didn't you give my money to the bank that at my coming I might have required my own with interest? In other words, why wasn't there any increase at all? Now here's what he said to him. And take it unto them that stood by. Take from him the pound and give it to them that has 10 pounds. In other words, he said, take from that one that didn't do anything with it and give it to somebody that did something with it. Are you listening to me? He lost his reward. He lost his reward. He's not lost, but he lost his reward. Now, I told you when you get born, you can't become a horse if you're a human being. Okay? Now, let's go on. We're not done. And he said unto them that stood by, take what he has and give it to the one that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. And here's what he said. And I say unto you, unto everyone who has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that which he has will be taken away from him. That's pretty clear. No rewards, no inheritance. You're in heaven. But heaven's good, regardless. But you're not going to get that well done, thou good and faithful servant. Going to be a problem. Now, what happened to the ones that weren't even Christians? Verse 27. But those my enemies who would not that I would reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. They're going to die and go to eternal hell. You have three categories of people. Number one, a Christian who used what God gave him and he got a reward. Number two, you have a Christian who did not use what God gave him and what he had was taken away. And then you had the third category who did not know God, didn't have anything to do with any of it, said, we're not going to have God rule over us. They died, lost, and went to eternal hell. There's three categories of people, and that's only three kinds there are. God said this, the one that created everything and put us on the earth. I'm going to pay attention to what he says. Amen? All right. Now, let's go on with some other things. So he said, whatever God has given you in this life, this is what you're going to be judged on. Not everybody, God didn't give everybody the same. He didn't give everybody the same ability. He didn't give everybody the same gifts. He didn't give everybody the same mental capacity. We're all different. And what God says, use what I gave you. That's what you're going to be responsible for. You're not going to be responsible for what Billy Graham's got or somebody on Christian television or any of that stuff. You're going to be responsible for what God has given you. That could be a family. That could be a whole lot of things. Not everybody's got the same responsibility. But we are to be like Christ wherever we are, and we're to use what Christ has given us, the gifts he's given us, wherever we are, and that's the issue. Now, whatever's being given you in this life is what you'll be judged on, not anything you haven't received from God. Look in Luke 12:40. I'm going to try to make this as clear as I can so nobody's going to stand before Jesus and say I didn't understand, because it's very clear in here. Luke 12:40. Well, if you're still awake, say amen. All right. Now, I don't want to preach anybody to sleep. All right. 12:40. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you're not thinking about it. He can come at any time. It might be midnight. It might be 3 a.m. It might be 6:00 a.m. It might be noon. You never know when God's going to come. We're coming towards the end. Then Peter said unto him, speak you this parable unto us and even to us all. Now, and the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward? Here we go again. We are stewards or caretakers of what God give us, but not to keep it the way it is, to use it and multiply it. Some people think they're caretakers just to take what God's given them and keep it the same. That's not going to gain anything. He says, who then is a faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him his portion of food in due season? The same principle. Who's a wise and faithful servant? That's what we are. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, he'll make him ruler over all that he has. But and if the servant say unto his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat his maidservants and men servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers, that that servant who knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. In other words, what's it talking about here? God is going to be fair. God's not going to judge you for something somebody else is supposed to do. He's going to judge you for what he's given you to do. If you have a family, my goodness, he's going to judge you. Did you have your family in church? Did you take your kids to church? Are you taking your grandkids to church if they're around? I can't imagine a Christian father not taking his children to church. Can you? I can't imagine that. There's something wrong someplace. They don't understand the Bible because it's very clear. You're to take what you have and make it better. That's the issue. Whether it's your job, your family, your friends, your whoever. God is going to be fair. He said a person that didn't know some information is not going to be as, and so on here. But anyway, let's go on. The overcomers will never give up. The overcomers will never cave in because somebody criticizes them. Because if you're over the target, you're going to get criticized. If you're not being criticized by anybody, you're probably not doing anything. Because Jesus said very simply here, he said overcomers don't give up and they don't stop because somebody criticizes them. Because don't you believe they criticized Jesus? They called him a bastard. They called him of the devil. They called him full of demons. They called him everything you could possibly imagine. But he kept right on moving in the things of God. Do I hear an amen? Now, he was our example. We keep on moving. So what? Somebody in the family criticizes you for doing something right in Jesus Christ. I mean, what's important to you? You see. The rest of us are going to be burned up anyway. All right, we've got to start thinking like God. And then it also says, really, in that scriptures there, be ready to be evaluated at any time. I remember I was in the service. They told you they can come into barracks and have an inspection at any time. Be ready. You got to have everything ready all every minute of the day, all the time, because we don't know when he's going to come and inspect. You got it? All right. Now, I'm going to give you the whole works in case you don't come back. I mean, at least you're going to know the truth. Look it up for yourself. Don't believe what I tell you. You know, my goodness. Jerry Hall said so-and-so. Big deal. What's the Word of God say? I try to stay in the Word so you know. Be ready. We can be evaluated any time. what it really says is we ought to constantly examine our life to see if we're on the right track. We ought to constantly examine our life to see if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to be evaluated for this thing. All the rest of the stuff's not going to mean anything when Christ comes. You have to understand. 1 Corinthians 11:31. I'm going to move as quick as I can, get as many scriptures as I can. Oh, goodness. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Now, 11:31, and that says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if you judge yourself now and make a correction in your life, God won't judge you on that thing. Constantly evaluating, seeing how we're doing. constantly reporting for duty. Yes, sir. Good morning, Lord. What do you got for me today? Well, what divine appointment do you have? Who's going to be on the phone? What should I do here? Who should I call? Who should I pray for? And very simply, the Word of God says, to whom much is given, much is going to be required. But if you got a little bit, take care of that little bit. Say, bring it on, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's get with it. Let's do it. Let's start today. Let's don't waste any time. I'm going to tell you, nobody in this church is going to stand before Jesus and not know what the test is. I'm giving it to you ahead of time. Isn't it good to have a test before you have the test? Amen. Then there's no excuse whatsoever. Like I say, it's an open book test, and this is the book, you see. Now, the man here in that parable we're talking about, the noble man that went to get his kingdom was Christ, obviously. Now, he is going to come. Look at Luke 19:15. Luke 19 and verse 15. Luke 19:15. Okay, now here it is. It came to pass when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to be called to him. We're going to be called to him. We already read this. To whom he has given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained, underline gained, by trading. It's talking about money there, but he's talking about also gifts and everything else. I'm going to tell you this. God is not into equal distribution of wealth. Can I say that again? God's not into equal distribution of wealth. That's called communism or socialism. God's not into that. Socialism and communism really encourages people to do the least they can. But God's gonna test you, and he's going to expect you to do the best you can. And he's not going to give everybody the same. Not everybody's going to get the same rewards. Not everybody's going to get the same blessing in heaven. Not everybody's going to get the same crowns. Not everybody is going to get the same responsibilities in heaven. It's going to be different for everyone. He's been made king. He went back. He was crowned king. God gave him a kingdom. He's going to come, and he's going to set up his kingdom. It's going to be after the seven-year tribulation period. It's going to be all hell break loose on this earth before that. But he is coming. He's going to require an accounting. Every single person. He's going to look for who he can trust in the coming kingdom. If he can trust you with what he's given you now, he's going to trust you in his kingdom. How close you were to Christ, how you took care of what he gave you. I'm talking about primarily spiritual things. You should take care of your house and take care of your money and do all that stuff, but that's not going to be the primary judgment. It's going to be on spiritual things. Luke 19:24. And he said unto him, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. God is interested in people. You know, when the Father told Jesus to come to this earth and die on the cross at Calvary, what did he do? He came to this earth and died on the cross of Calvary for you and me. He did it. He said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it, and whatever the Father tells me to do, I do. That's what he asked of us. You got to find out what it is you're supposed to be doing. That's the issue. Now, so we're supposed to be active and productive in the kingdom of God now. Not just keep it in our little self and not give it out and so forth. Now, we're going to be responsible for our time. We're going to be responsible for our money. We're going to be responsible for our abilities. We're going to be responsible for our spiritual gifts, and some people don't even know what they are. We're going to be responsible for these things. God's going to say, what did you do with the spiritual gifts I gave you? And they said, well, you know, the pastor didn't teach me about it. How do you think that's going to go over? Do you have a Bible? You know? Does your Bible have 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14? Then I suggest you get in there and read it. And I have some people tear that page out. Some denominations tear those pages out. But you know, Christ's not going to ask you what denomination you are. He's not going to mention one denomination. He's going to mention, where are my kids and what have they done? That's going to be it. Now, well, let me finish this and I'll just run like a rabbit here, kind of. I don't run that fast anymore. Okay. We're supposed to grow the kingdom, not maintain the kingdom. You know. You ever go down the street and you'll see one house with no paint, grass up this high, and this looks like terrible. You'll find the house next door perfectly manicured, and they put fertilizer on the grass. In other words, they work with what they had. Are you listening to me? That's the way God sees you and I. That's the way He sees you and I. What are we working with? What are we doing? Are we working on eternal things, or are we just messing around in this world? You see. Now, you might fail 10 times, but get up the 11th and keep on moving. God will bless you. You don't give up. You make mid-course corrections. There's going to be three results in this life. Number one, you multiply what God gave you. You're going to get rewards. You're going to get the responsibility. Number two, you did nothing with what God gave you, passively waiting for Jesus to come back, and I'd be running the other way if I didn't do anything. The Bible says very simply, some are going to be ashamed at His coming. You got it? And then, oh yes, Lord, You gave me the talents and abilities, but there's no but here. He gave the gave you the talents and abilities. Why does everybody look like they just sucked a lemon? Number three, you're going to reject the king and go to eternal hell. You got those three things going. I mentioned that before. I'm almost done. Jesus clearly said what to do. It wasn't complicated. Go to Matthew 28. I was a good Baptist at one time, and they plastered this all over your mind. Okay, here we go. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to all of them, saying, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore, and really it says, make disciples of all nations, not just teach them. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If this church doesn't grow, then we ought to lock the door and walk away. Amen. There's something wrong. Because He said that very simply. Let's go to Mark, the last chapter. And I know some people say this wasn't in the originals and all that junk. I don't know if it was or not, but it came from God. And He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That means everybody in your world. You don't have to go to Africa. Just do it where you're at. Somebody said, well, I can't go to Africa. I guess I won't do anything. No. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. The signs shall follow them. Those who believe in my name, they'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I'm going to lay hands on the sick as long as I have hands. Yes. I'm going to take what God's given me. He's given me hands. I'm going to lay them on the sick. You see. Somebody gets sick in your house. No, excuse me, doctor. Call the doctor. No, first thing you do is pray. Then you can call the doctor. We need the doctors too. But that's the issue. Now, all the world is your world. The world that God gave you and the world you can contact as you go along. You can be, if you can be trusted with what he's given you. One more scripture and I'm done. John 21:19. I always like to go to the back of the book and start there. I want to know how it's going to end up. John 21 and verse 19. And this says, and he spoke signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto them, two words, follow me. Two words. It's not complicated. Follow Jesus. Whatever he did, you do as he gives you opportunity. You see. Now, not just come and see Christ and live like you did before you got saved. It's not that kind of a deal. You're going to be judged for everything that goes on. Everybody has a race. Some's going to run faster than others. That doesn't make any difference. What you do with what God gave you. That's the issue. That's the message. That's what I want you to take with you today. We're not to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You see. I don't care what your condition is, what your circumstances are, anything else. Do what God wants you to do in the circumstances. And he always wants you to pray. And then he'll always give you something to do. You commune with God and then you do it. Whatever the circumstances are, even if you're in a hospital room. I was in a hospital room not too long ago. I told this before, but the guy next to me told the nurse we were making too much noise over there. We're having too much fun in the Lord is what was going on. And my first inclination was to throw something heavy over the curtain. But I didn't do that. I had to breathe real deep a few times. And then finally I went over there and I said, how you doing? And he proceeded to tell me. It wasn't real good. And I said, my goodness. I wanted to think, well, I'd be grumpy too if that's how what I had going. Really, to tell you the truth. What I had was a pimple compared to what he did. And you know, we had a good conversation. I ended up praying for the guy, and he introduced me to his wife, and it was just, we were having a time over there. I even went back the next day after I got out of the hospital to see him again and to pray for him again. You do what you can in the situation you're in. Are you listening to me? You don't get mad at people. You love people. You don't get upset with people. You don't know what they're going through. And you bless them. Anybody can do that. That's called doing the works of God in the race. Let's stand before the Lord. Musicians come. Now's the time.